How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm bringing out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tuesday night edition of After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here hosting with you. My producer for tonight's show is Jacob Mustard. We've been talking Chiefs-Bills in this rematch in the postseason for the fourth time. These two teams, these two quarterbacks, and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes will go head-to-head for the second time for a trip to the Super Bowl. And we've been talking about it. You can send us a message. Chime in. Let us know what you think. 913-586-7965. We had a 660 right before the break. Say, any idea that with the Chiefs having arguably their best receiving core in the Patrick Mahomes era, why their offense still looks mediocre and has looked mediocre for the last 2 years? You know, I guess I have my opinions on it, but Jacob, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
I think it's because, one, you got to give credit to Andy Reid. I mean, he's making everything out of what you got, or what everybody in the media has said is out of nothing. But you still have your main target piece. I see similar scenarios from Brady. I mean, he took less money, but they put that all towards the defense. And he had Gronk, so there's your reliable tight end. That's a really good factor to have. He had Edelman for the later half of his career. Or Brady did, but it's, you know, you get your one wide receiver, and that can be Hopkins, that can be one of those one-off receivers. We've seen Noah Gray fill that role, come in with a couple clutch catches, and I think they're just spreading the ball out. There is no one dominant threat right now. Travis Kelce can look really good, but at the end of the day, with Andy Reid's scheme, you got to guard every part of the field, and if you don't, you're going to get torched by someone, and you can't have like a corner just stick on one of the wide receivers the full game, because then they'll just scheme around it. Sure, take Hollywood Brown out of the game. All right, we're going to get Xavier Worthy in the jet sweeps and all the downfield split the defense type routes, and it's just hard to match up against.
From my perspective, there's a lot of different angles I take with this. You know, there's a lot. It's not just one thing you can point to and say, oh, that's why the Chiefs offense hasn't been the world beater that it was 5 years ago. And so I'll kind of go step by step here. This may end up taking the entire rest of this segment, but so be it. I'll start with the fact that Mahomes is not 24, 25 years old now. Everybody in the world knows who has ever seen a game of football or seen a clip or been on social media knows who Patrick Mahomes is in some respect. Anybody who watches the game of football knows Patrick Mahomes and knows that he is one of, if not the best quarterback that's ever played the game of football. When he is 24, 25 years old, he's a first-year starter, a second-year starter, even a third-year starter, right? Teams are still trying to gather information. That may have only been the first time or the second time or the third time that they ever played against the guy. And so it's hard to figure out how exactly you're going to scheme against somebody like a Patrick Mahomes. He's 29 years old now. He's in his seventh year as a starter. Everybody has seen what he's capable of doing. There's so much film on him now. Everybody knows what his abilities are. Everybody knows what Andy Reid does with his abilities. So that's a factor in it. The fact that two high safeties have become such a more popular defensive scheme in today's day and age in professional football, right? Mel Kiper, that nut job, going on social media at the beginning of this year saying the NFL should ban the two high safety look, which is just preposterous and absolutely ridiculous. I think that could it make the game slightly more entertaining? Yes, but you're not going to remove a strategic piece from the game of football. So the fact that you're having teams play too high safety, Mahomes can't go vertical and make the deep ball throws to Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman that he used to make 5 or 6 years ago. Because teams are just going to be like, no, absolutely not. You're going to have to West Coast us down the field. Nickel and dime us down the field. You're not going to beat us with 15, 20, 25 yard plus plays. You're going to have to beat us with 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 yard plays up and down the field, right? And I think that has changed Mahomes' philosophy, and he's had to kind of adjust to that in some respect. And then I look at, from a personnel standpoint, you said that, you know, this might be the best receiving core in Mahomes' career in Kansas City. If they were all healthy, maybe, right? Last year, that receiving core was, it was what we all saw, right? You mean Sky Moore struggled, Kadarius Toney obviously struggled. Kelsey missed a little bit of time and had to, you know, took him a little bit to get himself going. But this year of all years, right, taking a look at just this year's roster. Okay, Rashee Rice comes out firing to start the year, right? One of the best receivers in football to begin the year. But tears his ACL week 3, week 4, whichever game that was. And you've now lost your wide receiver one. Oh, before that even happens, you lose Hollywood Brown in the first preseason play of the year. So when you're going through training camp and mini camp and you're doing all the things and Andy Reid's trying to come up with strategies and philosophies with Mahomes about what this team looks like this year, every formation, every play design, Andy Reid is so intricate and detailed and precise in his approach that on this play, this is what Rashee's running. On this play, this is what Hollywood's running. On this play, this is what Xavier Worthy's running. And then you lose Hollywood Brown before the season even starts, and then Rashee Rice is gone before you even reached a quarter of the way through the year. So all that's out the window. So Xavier Worthy goes from being wide receiver 3 to wide receiver 2 at the drop of a hat whenever Hollywood Brown goes down. And then when Rashee goes down, he's now wide receiver 1. He's running the wide receiver 1 routes the entire season for the most part, which is not what he was preparing for during rookie training camp and mini camp in the preseason. So that throws a massive wrench into the whole grand scheme of things. Travis Kelce's not getting any younger, right? 34 years old at the start of the year. He's turned 35. He's not going to be the Travis Kelce that you saw at 28, 29 years old. I think it's fair to say if this would have been 5 years ago on that play that Travis Kelce catches in the middle of the field and gets tackled at the 7-yard line, 5 years ago, he might have scored on that. But he's just not the same Travis Kelce from 5 years ago. Still a remarkable athlete, the best tight end to ever play this game, but he's not the same guy that he was 5 years ago. Don't shake your head at me, Jacob. You leave your Rob Gronkowski propaganda somewhere else, all right? I don't want to hear it.
He won't be silenced.
Oh, you'll be silenced. I'm hosting. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But
I have your mic button.
I guess that's fair. Yeah, you are in front of the board, so that's a fair point. You could absolutely hijack this entire thing. So, okay, maybe you're not silenced. Backtracking so quickly. But like I said, Travis Kelce's not the same guy he was 5 years ago. So that's a part of it. I mentioned with Rashee going down with the ACL injury, you lose Hollywood Brown during the preseason. Now you've got Xavier Worthy playing wide receiver 1 snaps as a rookie. He's still trying to find his footing. And early in the year, you saw that. You saw him have trouble at times, especially down the sideline with particular catches. There was not a ton of veteran presence within that locker room, right? Hollywood Brown and Mecole Hardman might be the two most experienced wide receivers in that room right now, at least in terms of years in the league and snap count. where, you know, Xavier Worthy didn't necessarily have guys that he could go to and say, like, hey, you know, what is your process here? The emergence and the trade for DeAndre Hopkins, I think, changed a lot of things in regards to Xavier Worthy. And I think that Buffalo game shortly after DeAndre Hopkins came to Kansas City was your first real inclination towards that. Having a guy that he could rely on and a mentor of sorts has really changed things for Xavier Worthy. But talking about the trade for DeAndre Hopkins, he's provided some good things, but this is not a 100% healthy DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like we keep forgetting about the fact that this is a man playing football and has for most of the year, including his entire tenure in Kansas City, with a partially torn MCL. This is not a 100% healthy DeAndre Hopkins. So, Kelsey's aging. Two high safety looks. He's been in the league long enough that teams have plenty of film on him to scout him. You've got a rookie wide receiver in Xavier Worthy who had to play a lot of receiver one snaps early on in his development, was called upon way more than is necessary a lot of times for a rookie wide receiver because Hollywood Brown goes down during the preseason and you lose a guy in Rashee Rice who looked like he was preparing for a massive leap from year one to year two. You lose him to the ACL tear. So yes, on paper, is this the most talented wide receiving core or receiving core in general that Mahomes has ever had? Yes. But injuries have derailed that in a lot of different respects. And I think that that is something that needs to be taken more into account. I've got a 785 number here in the text line saying he's also played more games than anyone else. Yeah, when you're making deep playoff runs every single year and you're playing between 19 to 20 or 21 games in a season every single year, right? He's played in his career as a starter. He's now played 19 postseason games in 7 years. He's played 8 full seasons of professional football over the course of 7 years. It's a lot of extra football to be played. That's a lot less off-season time to get, you know, injuries taken care of and all the different things. Not that I'm sure. I don't think that that's maybe the biggest factor in this whole thing, but it's not a one-fold approach. I think that it's multifaceted. I think that the injuries over the course of this season in the wide receiver core are maybe the biggest factor in why the offense has looked quote unquote mediocre.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also the fact that you have the new weapons. I mean, you got to spend time adjusting. And I think a point that gets overlooked is they also show a lot of sparks. I mean, D-Hop is also hurt, and you mentioned that. That also makes him more dangerous when it comes down to these third and ones and fourth and twos. Like, you have to go have it. Well, he's going to get out on the field because he's been playing through injury, and now someone has to designate a corner to him. Well, maybe you know he's hurt, so they're designating their third string cornerback. I don't care. A hurt D-Hop is still going to outshine a third-string corner. Like, it's just, it plays into the schemes of the matchups. And yes, the great ones will elevate receivers. We saw it with Peyton Manning. We saw it with Brady. Seen it with Favre. Seen it with all the great quarterbacks. They elevate their talent. And I remember going into this year, people like, this is the worst receiving core that he's ever had to deal with besides last year. And like, people are like, well, they had high expectations. Will they reach it? We don't know because of the injury bugs. But overall, I mean, they dominated and they're in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. I mean, we can say the offense looks mediocre, still in the AFC Championship game, still one of the four best teams in football. And I think that's maybe another factor in it. Right? Mahomes realizes that he doesn't have to throw for 350 and three scores to win a football game anymore. He's got a solid defense. He's got a reliable running game with two quality backs in Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. We talked about it earlier that I would ride with Kareem Hunt more as your primary ball carrier during this postseason run. And you've got quality special teams, right? Harrison Butker, there were question marks and concerns and, oh, is Harrison Butker going to be this? Is he going to be that? Is he going to be able to make big kicks? Yeah, he's 3 for 3 in the first playoff game. He's made over 90% of his kicks in his postseason career.
I had faith on him.
I absolutely did, yeah. Too. We talked about it, right?
Yes,
I mean,
we did.
I really had no legitimate concern surrounding Harrison Butker because he is a guy like a lot of the dudes on this Chiefs team, like we've seen with George Karlaftis so far early in his career, like we've seen with Mahomes throughout his entire career and Travis Kelce. Those guys just turn it on in big moments. when the lights are the brightest, they shine. And it's just one of those things where Mahomes is now, he's got trust, and he can be reliant on the other phases of the game, defense, special teams, the running game, to make plays where he doesn't feel like he's got to go out and win it by himself. And that's a big part of why I like Kansas City's chances against Buffalo on Sunday, because in order for the Bills to win, Josh Allen's got to be Superman. Mahomes doesn't have to be Superman anymore. He can be, but he doesn't have to be. Josh Allen has to be Superman, I think, for Buffalo to beat Kansas City on Sunday. And I think that may be the biggest difference in this football game.
I agree, unless they can get James Cook going, which is a big ask against the Chiefs defense. But if that run game gets going, James Cook has been exceptional this year.
Mm.
And it allows Josh Allen, we saw last week, what did he throw, 16, 17 passes?
Right.
He was able to step it back. Weather was kind of a factor in that. I don't think it's going to be near as bad. I think it's 32 the last time
I
checked on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be around freezing on Sunday, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be any precipitation or anything. No snow to contend with or ice.
But I think if they can get the ground game going, it's going to allow Josh Allen to sit back and not have to be Superman. But if the Chiefs stuff the run early, I mean, you're going to have to see Josh Allen do what he's proven that he can do, but he's going to have to do it on the biggest stage.
And Kansas City, you know, there may be a bigger emphasis on stopping the run this week in practice after Joe Mixon ran the ball pretty well for Houston in that divisional round game against Kansas City on Saturday. Got about 40 minutes left in tonight's program. A lot more to get to. I want to talk about the other conference championship game. We've got Eagles Commanders coming up Sunday as well for who the opponent could be for the Kansas City Chiefs to the Super Bowl. We've got NFL coaching cell news. We've also got some college basketball to get to. Big matchup tonight for the Mizzou Tigers. Their first game as a top 25 team going on tonight. You've got KU playing tomorrow. Maybe some Kansas State basketball talk if we get a chance. So stay tuned. You're listening to After Hours with Logan Weber and producer Jacob Mustard here on 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a Banana Bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will the Kansas City Chiefs or Buffalo Bills, depending on what happens Sunday, see in a potential Super Bowl in New Orleans? It's got a matchup between two NFC East rivals in the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles. An Eagles team that is not, you know, not surprising to have made it to this point in the postseason. They had a 14-3 regular season. They are 8-1 at home at Lincoln Financial this year, 9-1 if you count last week's divisional round win. Jalen Hurts, you know, he hasn't had to really wow anybody with his passing this season. He's got 2,900 yards through the air, 18 touchdowns, 5 picks, but the Eagles do have Saquon Barkley, who is absolutely unbelievable. He was extraordinary in last week's game against the Los Angeles Rams. Running up and down the field, 26 carries, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, both of which were on very, very long touchdown runs. As he, you know, he could approach, I don't know what the all-time record is for rushing yards in a season, including the playoffs, but Saquon could make a run at it. I don't know. I don't think he will. I don't think he would get there, but he has been absolutely sensational this season. Hurts only threw for 128 yards in that game. He was sacked 7 times in that game. So if you're Washington, again, just like it was for the Rams, and I know that it's an impossible thing to ask, but if you can contain Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts beat you, I think that Washington stands a chance to win this football game, especially because of how savvy their secondary is. It's one of the best units in football in that back four. They generate a ton of turnovers, as we witnessed against the Detroit Lions, where they forced 5 of them. Make Jalen Hurts throw the football. And for Jaden Daniels, he becomes one on a very short list of rookie quarterbacks to take their team to a conference championship game. The last guy to do it was Brock Purdy a few seasons ago in 2022 with the Niners. Before him, it was Mark Sanchez with the New York Jets who did it in 2009. So I believe he's maybe the 6th or 7th rookie quarterback ever to take their team to and start in a conference championship game. He will become the latest iteration on that list. Right now, this game, they've got Philly as a 6-point favorite. ESPN's matchup predictor gives them almost a 64% chance to win this football game. I don't disagree. I think Philly is the better team, but I thought Detroit was the better team. And Washington pretty well controlled that matchup, even though I kind of felt like Detroit got in their own way in a lot of respects. They got cute. I mean, I give Ben Johnson a ton of credit, and I'm sure we'll talk about Ben Johnson here in a little bit with this NFL coaching carousel news, but I mean, why? When you have an opportunity there in that game with Detroit going up early on the Commanders, 14-3, right? They got up 14-3 fairly quickly into the game. I shouldn't say 14-3. They got up 14-10. I don't understand why you continue to throw the football. Jahmyr Gibbs had an incredibly effective night. He had 14 carries for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. You had David Montgomery, who ran the ball 7 times for 28 yards. You ran the ball incredibly effectively. If you even take Jameson Williams' 61-yard reverse for a score out of the equation, Detroit still ran for almost 6 yards a carry between Gibbs and Montgomery. But you went away from the run game, and you let Jared Goff throw it 40 times. Why? Jared Goff had a bad day, and you continued to let him throw the football 40 times. I just thought that Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell and that Detroit Lions staff, they got cute. And when you're ahead in a game and you have an opportunity to control the clock and control the time of possession and keep the ball out of the hands of a guy like Jaden Daniels, who has been so dynamic this year as a rookie, you should have taken the opportunity while you had it. With the way that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery were running the ball, I felt like that was bad form by Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions. But neither here nor there. Washington wins the game. They've got Philly in this one. I think Philly can do exactly what I think Detroit should have done and didn't, and that is run the football. control the clock, control the time of possession, keep the football out of the hands of Jaden Daniels and that Washington Commanders offense, that is your recipe for winning this football game. Run the football, take care of the football, maintain possession, maintain the tempo of the football game. I know that tempo in the game of football doesn't get talked about all that much, but I think that, you know, a big part of what made Washington successful in a lot of respects, outside of a few big plays here or there, was they made life kind of hard on Detroit. Detroit was used to, you know, quick spurts of scoring, you know, 4-play drive, 6-play drive, 7-play drive. Nope. Okay, you may have one or two big plays throughout the course of the game because you're not going to keep a defense that offense that dynamic down, but we're going to force you into a 10-play drive, into a 12-play drive, into a 13-play drive. That's how you're going to have to beat us. You're going to have to eat 7 or 8 minutes a clock versus 3 or 4. I think that if Philly is able to do that to Washington, make them be methodical about their approach down the field and do that yourselves where... You know, like a little bit of what Ohio State did to Notre Dame yesterday, where, yeah, Notre Dame went down and scored on their first drive, but it took them 19 or 18 plays to do it, ate up 10 minutes a clock. Riley Leonard looked gassed after the first drive of the football game. And then you're able to go down and score, controlling the clock, keeping the football out of Notre Dame's hands. You force a 3-and-out, they punt it back to you, you go methodically down the field, punch in another one. I mean, Notre Dame got killed in time of possession in the first half, and that was a huge part of why they went down 14 at the break. So I think for Philadelphia, obviously the key is to get Saquon Barkley going because he is the best player on your team. But in getting Saquon going, you get to control the tempo of the game and keep the football out of Jaden Daniels' hands, which I think it increases your chances of winning exponentially.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, both teams are set up very similar ways of controlling the ball. Both want to pound the rock. And, you know, Jaden Daniels a little bit different style than Jalen Hurts, but two mobile quarterbacks who are more than capable of running the ball. That's the first time we've seen Jalen Hurts break off a huge run in a long time. But yeah, if the Eagles can do that, and we harped on their offensive line last week. I remember talking, the Eagles offensive line is creating 2+ yards before contact for Saquon Barkley. I mean, you give a runner that, an elite talent of a running back, that much space, and he's going to make the first man miss. There's easy 7 yards before first contact, yeah, or first chance of stopping him. Also, I did look it up. Barkley needs about 470 yards if they make it to the Super Bowl through the next two games to break the record for most yards in a single season, including the postseason.
So he's
kind of far off. I mean, he theoretically could do it, but chances are extremely low.
Man, I mean, he's had an absolutely remarkable year. I'm still of the thought that the Eagles should have gave him a shot to get Eric Dickerson's record in that week 18 game. I know that there were going to be those people out there that were like, oh, well, Eric Dickerson didn't need 17 games to do it. And I respect that. You know, it's the same people that would have, you know, belittled Roger Maris for breaking Babe Ruth's record back 60 years ago, whenever he surpassed the Babe, or more than 60 years ago now. Yeah. 60 years ago. Plus at this point,
quick trivia. But, do you know who does have that rushing record? It's kind of obscure. It's not the first guy that would come to your mind.
Okay, so that tells me that it's not like a... I'm trying to think of like a good running back on a team that made a deep playoff run.
They did win the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl that year. Okay. 90s?
Yes. Late 90s.
AFC?
Mm-hmm.
90s AFC. Okay, so I'm thinking like a Thurman Thomas or Terrell Davis with the, yep, Broncos.
Oh, Terrell Davis.
Was TD?
Yep.
How many did he rush for?
He ended, so he set in 97, 2,331, and then a year later he broke his own 2,476.
Okay, so 2,476.
And Barkley's at like 2,005,
That's yeah, not including not the postseason. So if you include the 205 that he ran for last, mm-hmm, week, then he's at 2,210.
So he could.
So he's still, you know, 2,210 to he's about 250 plus yards away from surpassing. Yeah, that's whoo. Yeah, right now he's got 2,000. It says he's got 2,329.
I couldn't find I couldn't find his current stats. It's but he's close.
If
he
ran for 2,005 during the regular season and 205 in that divisional round game, then he's nowhere near 2,329. So I think it's about 250 that Saquon would need. So he'd either have to do it in one game or he'd have to, you know, get a good chunk of it and then the Eagles win and get to a Super Bowl. But it's interesting. And for the Commanders, I mean, this feels like the sort of game where the Commanders are playing with house money, right? They had nothing to lose last week against the Detroit Lions because nobody thought that they would win that game. Nobody thought that they would even make the playoffs. This was a team that went 4-13 a year ago. They had a rookie quarterback, a brand new head coach, a brand new GM, a brand new offensive coordinator, a brand new defensive coordinator, and a bunch of new pieces. And they go out and win 12 games, and they beat the one seed in the Detroit Lions, the team that had the best odds of winning the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right. I got a 913 here. Said the Eagles have played two playoff games.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. He does have the 300 in the postseason right now. Postseason, he's at 324 rushing
yards. That's right, because they didn't get the one seed. So I'm such an idiot. But yeah, he ran for like 100-something against Green Bay.
So
that's
on me. He's knocking on the door.
He's knocking on the door. So about 147 yards he would need. That's incredibly doable.
He could do it this game, but he would have a way better chance.
Right.
Oh, if they make it.
If he passes TD's record this week against the Commanders, the Eagles are going to win this football game. I'll book that right now. But for the Commanders, they're playing with house money, right? It kind of has the feel of a game where like the Eagles have a lot to lose in this game because this sort of feels like a Super Bowl or bust sort of a team with the addition of Saquon and how the defense has improved versus the Commanders where, you know, we're happy to be here. This is they are way ahead of schedule right now for even what their high expectations for the Jaden Daniels era in Washington could have been. So it's always there's always a bit of an advantage, I think, for a team that's playing with nothing to lose versus a team that's playing with everything to lose. So I really like that I like that standpoint for the Washington Commanders because they've had a rough stretch of games. I saw this on Twitter today. Absolutely boggled my mind. These are a few of the names on the Washington Commanders coaching staff back in 2013. So that 2013 Washington Commanders team, which of course back then was the Redskins, the head coach of that team was Mike Shanahan. They went 3-13 that year. This was their coaching staff. Offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, right? He was the OC.
It's a stacked room.
Quarterbacks coach, Matt LaFleur, now the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Tight ends coach, Sean McVay, who's now a Super Bowl winning head coach for the Los Angeles Rams.
Youngest, too.
Right. Mike McDaniel was the wide receivers coach for that Washington Redskins team. Now the head coach of a perennial playoff team, aside from this year, in the Miami Dolphins. Raheem Morris was the DB coach on that team, who's considered one of the best defensive minds in the game of football. Great defensive coordinator. Bobby Slowick was a defensive assistant for that Washington Redskins football team, and he's now the OC for a playoff team in the Houston Texans. They went 3-13. How do you have six guys, five of which have been NFL head coaches, and a sixth, and a guy like Bobby Slowick, who could soon be a head coach in the NFL, and you won three games, and you had a Super Bowl winning head coach in Mike Shanahan? I don't think the coaching staff was the problem that year.
Oh, yeah, and they learned from their mistakes and built better rosters on different teams.
It kind of shows you that you don't need to get a coach from a winning organization to be successful, right? Experience is experience, and when it comes to a position coach or a coordinator, obviously you have to answer to the head coach. So ideas and implementations that you may want, you may not be able to put into effect because of you've got guys to answer to. And if the guys you answer to don't like it, then so be it. Don't be so relegated and narrow-minded towards we have to just it's got to be a guy from a winning organization, a guy who's a proven winner. Because not all proven winners can go out and win with a higher, with a bigger role or at a higher level.
I mean, we kind of saw that with Bienemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we did. And there's been a lot made of that, too. I've seen a lot of people talking about if Matt Nagy does leave and gets a head coaching job somewhere else, which, based on what I'm seeing and what I've read, I don't think will happen. But if he were to leave
or get fired,
there's a lot of people who are like, oh, well, we'll bring Eric Bieniemy back. I don't think so. I don't think that'll be the case, folks. I could very well be wrong, but I don't think Eric Bieniemy would be the answer there.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it as someone from the outside. He had a really good scheme. I mean, granted, he was under Andy Reid and his overall arcing scheme. But, you know, his head coaching days didn't work out. I mean, Patriots are kind of on the same way of bringing back Josh McDaniels. Seeing what he can do with Drake May. I mean, I wouldn't say it would be a bad idea. But also, we don't know what the future with Matt Nagy looks like.
Right. You know, the one name that I've heard over and over again, and I'll shout out the guy, Josh Briscoe, who does a show here at 96.5 The Fan. He's a good friend of mine. We were having a conversation back several months ago when I was down in the Springfield market about, like, you know, if Nagy were to leave, then where do the Chiefs go, right? Do they go back to Bieniemy? And the name that he threw out was Joe Blamire, who is the pass game coordinator for the Chiefs. He's been with the Chiefs for 9 years. He was the quarterback's coach. He was pass game coordinator for several years in Kansas City. He's got a wide receiver background. He worked with Andy Reid in Philly when he was an intern for them. And, you know, he's got college level coaching experience, high school coaching experience, and he's been in this system long enough under a couple of different offensive coordinators and Bieniemy and Matt Nagy that he could kind of absorb things from. He's been in this system with Andy Reid long enough. He's been here for the entirety of the Patrick Mahomes era. And I think that that is an important thing to point out as well, that he has been here and developed and cultivated a relationship with Pat that I think could be very beneficial down the line, right? That's the relationship that Nagy and Mahomes have developed. When Nagy was here when Mahomes was drafted and became the quarterback when he was the OC. And I know that, you know, Bieniemy and Mahomes butted heads or reportedly butted heads at different points throughout, you know, Bieniemy's time as the OC for Kansas City. And could that play a factor in the possibility of bringing him back? I don't know. I just look at a guy like Joe Blamire, and in talking with Josh about it, Josh had said that he has heard people within that building talk about how impressive an offensive mind Joe Blamire has. And I think that that is a very, very, you know, high level of praise for somebody that's in that building, because there are some tremendous offensive minds with the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, guy at the head of the table is Andy Reid. So for Blamire to be getting those sorts of compliments from people inside that building and inside that facility, I think if Nagy were to leave, Joe Blamire may be the guy. I think that he's certainly a name to be looked at. But a lot more to get to here, talking about Ben Johnson and his questionable calls and you know, his questionable playmaking during that Lions Commanders game. He's not going to have to worry about that in Detroit anymore. Now he's got to worry about it in Chicago. Ben Johnson, the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. We'll talk about that and a couple of other NFL coaching carousel bits of news. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef.
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Look in the mirror. When did your metabolism decide to take a permanent vacation? You're working out, eating decent, but that stubborn gut just won't budge. Standard diets don't work anymore. They just starve your body, crash your energy, and burn away the lean muscle you actually want to keep. It's time to break the cycle with Almased. Almased isn't a fad diet. It's a high-protein, all-natural meal replacement shake, scientifically backed to burn deep belly fat while protecting your muscle mass. The secret is a unique, low-glycemic formula. It keeps your insulin in check, forcing your body to stop storing fat and start burning it for fuel.
I hit 50 and my energy cratered, while my waistline did the opposite. Nothing got rid of my belly fat until I tried Almased. I dropped the belly, got more energy, and honestly, I feel like I'm in my 30s again.
Don't settle for slowing down. Protect your muscle, kickstart your energy, and lose the gut for good. Go to Almased.com and use promo code BELLY to get a free shaker bottle and a free weight loss guide with your first order. That's Almased.com, promo code BELLY.
Ben Johnson is the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, the Lions OC, taking the job earlier this week. The team announced it today. 38 years old, so still fairly young. This is his first head coaching job in the league. And he's already kind of hard at work trying to find out what his staff will be. Reports from ESPN are that he's trying to narrow in Dennis Allen, the former New Orleans Saints head coach, to be the team's defensive coordinator. And another former head coach in some respect of the New Orleans Saints, Darren Rizzi, to be their special teams coordinator. Although Alvin Kamara today said that his vote for the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints would be Rizzi. So, not sure. You know, you take that with a grain of salt. Of course, it's only one player's vote, but he did say that he would vote for Darren Rizzi to be New Orleans' next head coach. If not, he may become the special teams coordinator for the Bears. Who knows? So that's kind of an interesting one there. Johnson accepted the Bears' offer. He was also interviewed by the Jags, by the Raiders, and the New England Patriots. He was one of 17 candidates that Chicago interviewed for the vacancy. Three of the interviews, in person wise anyway, were Ron Rivera, Mike McCarthy, and Eddie George, who is currently the head coach at FCS Tennessee State. So, or maybe not FCS. I know that they play like HBCU at Tennessee State. So he's going to get the job. What will his staff look like? We'll have to wait and see. I think that it could be very interesting to see him and the relationship that can be cultivated with Caleb Williams. I think that the weapons at Ben Johnson's disposal, he and Williams will have to play with Adunze and DJ Moore and potentially Keenan Allen, although I believe Allen may be a free agent at the end of this year, and he has expressed an interest in possibly going back to the Chargers. So what that looks like, I don't know. But the Bears will have some stuff to play with. Bears also have a high draft pick that they could do something with here after going 5-12 and finishing last in the NFC North. But he's got a tough road ahead of him, right? I mean, it's not like it's likely for a first-year head coach to have a winning record. In fact, according to ESPN, since 1967, when George Halas retired from Chicago, there have been 12 full-time head coaches for the Bears. Only one of them had a winning record in their first season. Jacob, that coach was Matt Nagy, who went 12-4 in 2018.
Was that the Mitch Trubisky year?
It was like his second year in the league. So, yeah, took him to a 12-4 record that year in his first year as head coach, his first ever time as a head coach. And then, of course, what happened after that.
I was going to say, what did he do after? Could be beginner's luck. Could be, I don't know.
Who knows?
I didn't see promise.
I mean, to win 12 games with Mitch Trubisky as your starting quarterback is pretty extraordinary, I have to say.
He torched the Patriots that year. Sad times.
That's a rough thing for you to say out loud, I have to say. But that's not the only bit of NFL coaching news that we got today. Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, locking down an extension, or at least they're working on an extension. He agreed on it multi-year after O'Connell, you know, did such a remarkable job with this Vikings team this year. They had a great year last year, and you know, you let Kirk Cousins go, you bring in Sam Darnold, and you draft J.J. McCarthy, then McCarthy has the injury, and he misses the year, and you're thinking, really, Minnesota's about to roll with Sam Darnold as their starter? Like, wow, what are they going to go? Are they going to go 7-10, 6-11, right? And Sam Darnold was exceptional this year until the last two games of the season, unfortunately, in that Week 18 matchup against the Lions and then the wild card game against the Rams. But all in all, he had a really good year. The question is, what does Minnesota do at the quarterback position, right? That's their big question mark this offseason. Do you sign Sam Darnold to a big-time extension, or do you try to say, you know, we picked J.J. McCarthy number 10 overall last year. He's the guy we want to go with. Personally, in my view, in my opinion, I think you got to re-sign Sam Darnold. I think that you need Sam Darnold to stick around for the long haul. He had such a good year last year. The first real taste of success, I would say, or at least sustained success, that he's ever had in his NFL career. And it's not like this is a 30, 31, 32-year-old Sam Darnold. He's 27, right? I mean, like, very recently turned 27. So I look at it from a standpoint. He turned 27 in June. So he'll be 28 by the time next season starts. I think he's the kind of guy that you roll with for the future. I really do. I am not high. Maybe it's because I don't really have a level of confidence in J.J. McCarthy. I think he benefiting around a ton of really great NFL players at Michigan, especially, you know, an exceptional running game and an elite defense to where he didn't have to do a whole lot.
Isn't that what they just had, though? That the Vikings have. They have elite weapons on the offense. Aaron Jones with a really good ground game. And their defense, I don't know statistically ranking, but their defense was above average in the NFL this year.
Their defense generated a ton of turnovers. Absolutely. They had a really good, a much better defense than I think many people thought they would. And bringing Aaron Jones over from Green Bay was a big boon for them. But I don't necessarily think it's the same situation, because Kevin O'Connell wants to throw the football, and he can throw the football. And J.J. McCarthy didn't really prove to me in college that he could throw the football at a high rate. I mean, Sam Darnold threw for 4,500 yards this year, 30-plus touchdowns. He had an awesome year. I think a big part of why Aaron Jones got to be so successful in the run game and the change in the transition from Green Bay to Minnesota was because of how good Sam Darnold was. And because, yes, J.J. McCarthy, it might be an easier transition from him having this year to learn and having guys like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and T.J. Hockenson to throw the football to. But I think, I don't know. In my opinion, you sign Sam Darnold to an extension. Maybe you keep Daniel Jones around to be your backup, and you trade J.J. McCarthy. That's my view.
why not have McCarthy be the backup and still develop him? Because we've seen kind of the top of Daniel Jones. I get it. If you get an insane offer for McCarthy, I would say take it. That gives you another shot at maybe another future quarterback in a couple years if Sam Darnold doesn't pan out. But that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think the value is for Sam Darnold, and how long would you sign him to a contract? Because I've seen people say, well, just franchise tag him. What's that going to look like? And then the other thing is, I seen this rumor just recently that what if Matthew Stafford retires? Because he sounds like he's contemplating it. And McVay could do very similar to what Kevin O'Connell is doing with Sam Darnold. And what if they throw the absolute bag at him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he'd be a good fit for what McVay and the Rams like to do. I think that would be exceptional there, right? The Rams have other question marks outside of Stafford, right? Cooper Kupp's about to be a free agent. What's his future look like, right? He says he wants to stay in LA, but he doesn't know if he's going to be a Ram for the long haul. I think regardless of whether he re-signs with Minnesota or he goes somewhere else, and I think that Darnold, I don't think he's going to be an upper echelon sort of paid quarterback. 1 year of really tangible success in this league. So is he going to make the $53 million a year that Tua makes? No. But could he make the $40 million a year that Stafford has with LA, which would put him about middle of the pack in quarterback contracts? Yeah. I would say somewhere between $33 and $38 million a year might be a good fit for Sam Darnold, because that puts him just below the threshold in the realm of Stafford and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins, who are all making somewhere between 40 and 45. But at that $38 million mark, he's making more than Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers and Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield with the Buccaneers, right? I would say somewhere in that realm is where Sam Darnold's market value lies. Between 33 and 38, I think, is a good number for him. So if Minnesota can lock him in for, say, 3 years at roughly $112 million, $80 million guaranteed, $75 million guaranteed, I think that would be a good market value for Sam Darnold based off of only 1 year of tangible success, at least in my view.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just wondering, and I'm not sure their cap space. I feel like they were pretty low last year in cap space. I'm just kind of spitballing here and seeing what you would value, you know, because you could have J.J. McCarthy on a rookie deal. And to be fair, he beat out Sam Darnold in the preseason for the starting role.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they saw something that we didn't see, and maybe he just steps in. I mean, that's all up to them, their decision in the back end.
Well, wait, hold on. Did you say that McCarthy had beat out Sam Darnold?
Didn't he beat him out?
No.
He didn't.
They,
okay.
Yeah, they had said that Sam Darnold was going to be the starter even prior to the J.J. McCarthy injury.
Okay.
Because Darnold started the first preseason game for the Vikings, and that's when McCarthy went down with the injury. O'Connell had already said that Sam Darnold was going to be their starter. And, yeah, I mean, you've already got McCarthy on this deal, right? He's on this rookie contract. He's going to make somewhere between $4 to $6 million a year based on his draft position. If you want to keep him around, you can try to do what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. Now, the difference was that Rodgers was 35, 36 years old at that time, and Darnold's 27. So there's not as much of an age difference, I think, there where you're like, okay, we have Darnold for 3-4 years and then he can go. And because by the time that 3 or 4 year deal is up, he may only be 30, 31, 32 years old. And that is in longevity for a quarterback nowadays. That's not that big. You know, that's not towards the end of a career based on what we've seen lately with upper echelon starting quarterbacks. The only other big piece of NFL news that is confirmed is that Josh McDaniels is going back to New England. Josh McDaniels hired by Mike Vrabel to be their OC once again. How about it? You excited to have Josh McDaniels back in New England?
I like it. The main reason I like it is because look what he did with Mac Jones' rookie year. Made him a Pro Bowler in his first year with the Patriots. And granted, you know, that was kind of an exception. But he was on the edge of the Pro Bowl tier. And as much as that, you know, takes some fan voting into account, it's something. I like his scheme. And it's Alex Van Pelt was a good sign for us this year. But, you know, McDaniels has proven stuff.
He has. And he's at a point now where he's had two opportunities to be a head coach and neither one of them worked out very well. So McDaniel sort of has the feel of a guy who probably will remain a coordinator for the remainder of his career. So if Vrabel can bring him in and it works well, right? You're not really all that concerned about McDaniels leaving and taking another head coaching job somewhere, because if Josh McDaniels got a third chance to be a head coach, that would be that's Adam Gase levels of bad. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. For our producer, Jacob Mustard, I'm Logan Weber. I want to appreciate you guys joining us tonight. Didn't have a chance to get to any college basketball, but we'll have a chance a little bit later on in the week. Gonna have a lot of fun. Keep gearing up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. I know that it feels like a lifetime away right now, but we are just getting there. We're gonna get there. About 5 days away from Chiefs, Bills, Sunday Night Football, AFC Championship game. We're out.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef.
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.